Church is closed, which not only means no weekend services, it also means no classes for kids. For parents, this is virgin territory. Many of us have never had to play the leading role in talking to our kids about God. Where do I start? Should I read them stories? What if they ask me questions I don't have answers to? Should I be doing family devotions? What's that even mean? All that and more. Today we're going to talking about Jesus with our kids. So you guys know I have a 2-year-old and a 4-month-old, and I'm starting to feel the weight of training up my kids spiritually this little. It feels exciting. It feels heavy. It feels scary. It feels like it could be really fun, but I just honestly don't even know where to start with my littles, and I know I can't be the only one that feels that way. So where do I start? Tell me, how do I start talking to my kids about Jesus?
Well, I think the thing that I would encourage parents around first and foremost is, just like anything else in our life, our kids are going to catch more of our faith than is taught. I'm a big fan of, you know, I try to do the devotions with my kids and all that. I'm a big fan of that. But I know this. I know that my kids see my relationship with Jesus. They see it. They see how it plays out in my life and my speech. And that's going to be the most impactful way. And all of us can do that. All of us are doing that. And so I think I would just start with a big dose of encouragement for you as parents to say, man, let your kids see you relating to Jesus in the ways that you relate to Jesus. Simple prayers, whatever that is for you, being thankful, reading whatever you're reading, talking about whatever you're talking about. Like, don't underestimate the impact of just your kids watching you and being with you as you have a real relationship with Jesus. And we can all do that. You don't need a seminary degree for that. That's all within our reach.
So it starts with our own relationship, Chuck.
And totally agree, Chuck. It's us modeling to our kids what it looks like.
Right.
And I think a lot of parents, like Lena, even you saying, I bet people would be really surprised by you saying, I don't know where to start. So going, whoa, wait a minute, you're on church staff. And I think a lot of us, we don't know where to start because we make it way too complicated. We're thinking, okay, where do I start? Like, where should I have them all sit while I stand and teach? And it doesn't need to be that hard. It can just be simple. It can be starting to have a regular rhythm of praying with your kids at mealtime or at bedtime. It can be buying a Jesus Storybook Bible, which is my absolute favorite kids Bible, and incorporating
that. It's one of my favorite Bibles.
Oh, period. Yes,
right?
Actually. Yeah.
It's one of my favorite Bibles. I love that.
It is my favorite Bible. And so start reading that. And when you're reading books with your kids, I mean, we have a couple of them here, and my grandkids will often pick up the Jesus Storybook Bible to read. So it's talking about that kind of, it's being grateful and realizing where good things come from. I remember when my kids were little and I'd pull into a parking spot at Christmas and I would say, I mean, you can disagree with my theology, but I would say, thank you, Jesus, for this great spot. And they would go, thank you, Jesus, for this great spot.
My mom used to do that. That's funny. I forgot about that until you just said that.
Oh, good. Well, if Libby did it, then I'm thinking it's theologically okay. But it's just simple things like that. And actually, for our kids, those are the things that are going to be most memorable. Our family, we did do family devotions one time. And it was terrible. And it was, I spent like 2 hours planning.
Wait,
I bought supplies. And we never did it again. It just didn't work.
Oh, Kim, so, you must say more. Oh, you can't just leave us with just
that
those
is
light
amazing.
Details.
Amazing.
Dig into that. So tell us about this.
So the thing we did was about your tongue being a powerful, I don't even know what, being powerful. You know, there's scripture about that. And I think we were going through a period where my kids just weren't saying kind things to one another. And so I did the whole thing. You've seen it. It's nothing original. I got little tubes of toothpaste for each of them. And, you know, once it's out, it never comes, you know, you can't take it back. We had toothpaste all over the kitchen. They ended up throwing empty tubes at each other. It was just, and seriously, I spent 2 hours preparing.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And so we decided just what you, after that, I remember Mark and I talking, he said, maybe it's more important the way we talk to each other to train them in how to talk to each other than doing a family devotion and preaching it to them.
My dad tried to do family devotions with us as a kid and as kids. And I'd say we did probably five. So more than your one, Kim. But okay, every time someone cried, not limited to the children. Maybe it was my mom. Maybe it was my dad. Someone always cried and not like happy. The spirit is moving me crying, like crying. I'm angry. And why are we talking about this thing or doing this or, well, we didn't address this and now we're having this conversation. And it was just someone always cried. So we stopped eventually. And what we were really consistent at, what my parents were really consistent at growing up, was we always prayed at dinner time. We always prayed in the car on the way to school. There was one stoplight at the gas station, the stoplight with the speedway on the left-hand side. It was right before we got to school. We always prayed there for our day. And bedtime, we prayed together and read Bible stories, or my dad would tell us Bible stories at bedtime. And those were consistent, like, all through. Well, I guess they stopped telling us Bible stories at some point before high school, I would assume. But the rest was consistent as long as we lived in their house. And so those are some of the things that Nick and I have picked up with our kids. And I'll tell you, the most like heartwarming thing ever was when the first time at dinner, Louie, my 2-year-old, said amen at the end. He's just learning to talk, and you're like, oh, maybe this is sinking in. Or we'd be somewhere and we wouldn't pray right away, and he'd put his hands together real fast, like, and he wouldn't eat. He'd make us hold hands, like he knew it was time to pray, is something that's starting to resonate with him. And it's really sweet. And I think you're encouraging me right now, because I think I just need to be encouraged, and I'm sure there are other parents here that need to be encouraged, that even if you are just praying at mealtimes right now, or, you know, if you have a Jesus Storybook Bible and you're reading that at night to your kids, or in the morning, or at lunchtime, whenever, that something good can happen from that. It doesn't have to be a planned, scheduled 2-hour prep time devotion.
Oh, yeah. And even hearing you, I mean, hearing in your voice when you're talking, Lena, and you're going, even if you just pray at dinner time, Lena, that is so awesome. You guys are praying at dinner time? That's amazing. I mean, that is going to be a part of your kids' routine. They're learning to turn to God. I mean, you're establishing that foundation of where you go when you're thankful or when you're sad or when you're concerned. That's fantastic. And we just make it too complicated. And we don't celebrate those little wins.
That's
and those
exactly
little
right.
wins, those little wins are what transform our kids. And this is the greatest story ever told. The Bible gives us hope where we don't get hope anywhere else. So if we're doing it in such a way that our kids are crying and dreading it, then we probably need to try a different approach.
That's so true. I'm listening to us talk, and it's making me think about one of my favorite scriptures for training your kids spiritually, and it's Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I'm going to read it from the Message. It's a paraphrase because I love how simple it puts it. I mean, it basically says, write these commands that I've given you today on your hearts. Get them inside of you, and then get them inside of your children. How do you do that? Talk about them wherever you are, sitting at home and walking in the street. Talk about them from the time you get up in the morning to when you fall into bed at night. That's it. And so I love the simplicity of that, because it doesn't say, God bless you, Kim. It doesn't say plan for 2 hours, right, to make this great presentation. And here's right. all the things you need. It's just telling us that, first of all, we are our kids' primary spiritual pastors. Like, that's the unique blessing we have as parents. And as we just let our relationship with Jesus flow out of our lives with them, walking to school. I mean, think about the things that everything you guys said stuck is that. Lena, you remember a stoplight, right? It's because it was a regular part of your day. I mean, you don't remember the big, well, you do remember the five big devotions, but those aren't the ones that helped as much as the prayer at the stoplight, which was, you know, spontaneous prayer. Your dad was driving. He was multitasking while he was doing that. But you remember that. It's just the simple, repeatable patterns that really do draw our kids into relationship with Jesus. And so I hope that that's really freeing for parents. It's freeing for me to hear that.
It's freeing for me to hear that. Absolutely. Well, I think too, I'm hearing maybe cues could be helpful, like dinner time, a stoplight. Chuck, you said you did something with your kids in the morning. Do you have a morning routine with your kids?
We do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and it's the car. The cue is the car. It's the same thing your dad was doing. That's when I do my prayer for my kids in the car. And honestly, like, I, you know me, I'm a big fan and leverage technology. So the YouVersion Bible app, they've got this daily story thing, and they have one for kids. It's like, you know, a 2-minute video, and then there's a couple of pet, you know, just have my kids read the simple prayer. Takes 4 minutes. But if you do it daily, that's the one, you know, on a previous episode, I talked about how we were discussing heaven. That was what we were using. And so I just love the simplicity of that. Pop it open and see what we're going to talk about today on the way to school and pray around it. It's just a simple approach.
I forget. I think I saw a meme recently. Been looking at a lot of those during this pandemic. But it was something along the lines of, it was a family around a breakfast table, and it was like, you ever see on the TV shows and dinner how whole families have conversations around the breakfast table? Who does that? Who are these people? And I think we see these things on TV, or there are some people that works for, and I think, like, in my head, I've thought we should, like, all be talking about the Bible around the breakfast table. Man, if you have your whole family eating breakfast together on a Tuesday, that's amazing. Oh, and man, if you can add the Bible in, holy cow, you're not me. But I think I have this idealistic thing in my head of what it should look like to lead my kids closer to Jesus. And in reality, I think it probably just needs to be simpler, which is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when we have those big grand ideas, that's when we never go. And I would say, if you're listening and you're not sure what to do, just do something. Just start praying with them at night, or order a Jesus Storybook Bible from Amazon and start reading that. Another great way to do it is through journaling. You could even journal back and forth. I have one of my kids has difficulty articulating her feelings in the moment and what's going on. So she would write me her prayer requests and what was going on in a journal, and then just set it when she was done, put on my nightside table. And then I would pick it up and I would write back to her.
And I love that.
And that really, that was a great way for us to communicate. I mean, that's figuring out how she, and I have another kid who we could sit and talk for 3 hours, but that didn't work for her. Mm-hmm. I had a friend, I thought this, I never did it because my kids were older when she told me about her kids are much younger than me. In the morning, she had a prayer jar, and her kids could write their prayer requests and put it in this jar. And she said there were so many things that they never told her, but they would ask her to pray about.
Wow.
And for them to know that she was praying for them during the day, not only is it modeling faith and what it looks like to prayer, it's also giving you a different perspective on what's going on in your kid's life.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of your favorite resources? So we've talked a bit about prayer, which I love. And to me, that actually feels, and this might not be true for everybody, but to me, prayer feels like the lightest weight one, because all that requires is me opening my mouth and talking to God on behalf of my kids or in front of my kids or with my kids. What are some other resources for other spiritual development beyond prayer? We've talked about the Jesus Storybook Bible. Chuck, you mentioned a YouVersion app.
Yep.
What are some other tangible things or apps or things that I could use as resources at home?
Yeah. I mean, I'll say this as, and not just a shameless plug, but I'll name a couple of churches. I'll name three churches. There's, like anything else, there's some churches that just have great online content for families and kids. Crossroads, our church, certainly does. We've used stuff from Saddleback Kids. We've used stuff from North Point Church. And there's probably 25 other churches I could name. The things that I love about those resources is that they're age appropriate. What works, again, when you have a range of kids, what works for one, you know, elementary kid is different than what you might want to do for a middle schooler. And I love the flexibility that all of those resources and all of those churches have. They've got a lot of things. So you can go find their websites and start downloading videos and watching those with your kids and see what works, what resonates, conversation starters. So that's a resource that we're really fortunate. Think about the time that we live in. We're really fortunate that we do have on-demand content. The same way that we get on-demand content for any other area of our life, we can get on-demand content to help us help our kids grow spiritually.
Some parents have been saying, we're not in church anymore. I need to do church with my kids. If you feel like you want to do that, like have some representation of church every week, then I would suggest scheduling it. And whether you're watching a Crosscodes video or a Saddleback video or reading directly from the Jesus Storybook Bible, decide we're going to do it every Sunday during breakfast, or we're going to do it Friday night while we're eating pizza. You might go, wait a minute, why are you doing it all around food? Because it's way easier to get your kids to watch something and sit if they're doing something. So have them eat, or give them all Play-Doh or Legos to build with while they watch. But if you want to have something standard each week, you're going to need to schedule it.
Make it a habit is what you're saying.
Right, right.
And Kim, for people who might ask why around pizza, why around food, there's also another deeply spiritual reason for that. Joy. Joy. Our relationship with God is a joyful thing, and we train our kids on how to think about that based on the context in which they engage it. I'm always reminded of, you know, the first time that Jewish children open up the Torah, they are given a taste of honey so that they equate the sweetness of honey to the sweetness of God's word. And I don't know about you guys, but Goodfellas Pizza does that for me too, right? So Bible and Goodfellas Pizza, like those are great connections for our kids to be making, that this relationship with Jesus is a source of joy for our family and fun and delight. So I love your idea of planning around food, around a great Sunday breakfast that you enjoy as a family. And part of that is you enjoying your relationship with God together.
Yes. And Lena, I want to say one more thing about resources. This isn't actually a Bible resource, but buy some large canvases, something where you can put up, or a big chalkboard, and have kids record what they're thankful for so you can go back and look at it.
That's good.
Because Chuck, to you talking about joy, there is so many things that God gives us that we just forget or we overlook. But if we start asking our kids, I was talking to a friend a couple weeks ago, and every night they ask their kids, where did you see God today? And initially, when you start asking that question, they might say, oh, I didn't see him anywhere. But as you continue to ask it, they start looking mm-hmm. for God, mm-hmm. and they see him in places that they just wouldn't have noticed if they didn't have their eyes open. And then coming home and recording it is a great way to remember how generous he is with us and how he provides.
I feel like one other thing, too, that would be good to share is, you know, coming from a dad perspective on this, there's also a physicality to my relationship with God that I want my kids to experience. So my kids know one of the things I love to do is get out in nature. And that's a place where I connect with God. And so when I'm taking a hike with my kids, there are so many things in nature that give you reason to worship and reason to show your kids God's creativity. When you see a deer cross your path, when you think about how animals survive on other animals and, you know, all the beauty of the colors. And, you know, if you go out and hike a trail after a waterfall, the power after a rain, the power of water, like there's so many of those things. And so I just encourage you to make it physical. Get out in nature.
As we train our kids up spiritually, it shouldn't feel burdensome or heavy to them. It should feel light and joyful, and they should want to have more. Albeit maybe you give them a piece of candy every time you watch a Kids Club video, or, you know, to associate, there should be positive association with scripture and with prayer and with seeing God in nature. It might mean that they get to take more walks with dad and have quality time with you, to get to hear from God that way.
We're all in this parenting thing together. This is actually the last episode of season 2, and it's been a heck of a journey. We'd love to hear your thoughts and questions as we think about the future. You can reach out to us at podcasts@crossroads.net. You Can Do This is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio.